Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, we're here with the Hollywood Life podcast, and we are so excited today because we've got a very special guest. We are here with Drake Bell.
Hey guys, how's
it going? Thanks for coming by.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being brave enough to come to New York City, even though you heard that we were having very cold weather, though you brought nice weather. And we are here also with Ali Stagnita, our on-air anchor and entertainment writer, and our silent producer, Nick.
What's up, Nick?
He's behind the camera. Behind the scenes.
So you know what? I really do want to thank you for bringing the balmy weather. Because
isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
I packed for the frozen tundra.
I heard.
And I had friends that escaped, came down to LA and went to Disneyland and hung out because they were like, I've got to get out of this weather. And I was like, no, I've got to go there Monday. It's going to be so cold. And then I got here and it was amazing. We walked out of the airport and I was like,
I know.
It's like LA. It was amazing.
I know. You were obviously like the good luck.
Yeah.
Charm.
I mean, you know, we come from California. We bring what we can.
Yeah. Well, I wish it was like March 1st though, because I would be like, oh, like signs of spring, except it's February 5th and it's going to
back.
Get cold.
I know. It's
going to
be frozen again.
Yes.
Yep. But what it did allow you to do was to just come in your gorgeous Gucci wear.
Thank you.
And oh, yeah.
I noticed on your Instagram that you're a big fan of Gucci. You are always wearing very cool Gucci head-to-toe outfits. And here you are in this. It's like a, how would you describe the jacket? It's like a varsity jacket.
It's like a bomber.
A bomber.
Like a classic bomber, kind of 70s vibe.
Are you super into fashion? You went to some shows, too. It was fashion week.
Yeah. I was at Todd Snyder last night. That was an awesome show. His stuff was really cool. I love fashion. I've always been into it. I think that I've always been a fan of classic rock and just rock and roll in general. And I think that music and fashion have always just like kind of intertwined and gone hand in hand. You know, you think of Elvis or David Bowie or The Clash or The Ramones or any of the Beatles, I mean, you instantly think of their looks and their fashion and what they look like, you know, Prince and Little Richard and Chuck Berry. It's like, you don't just think of the music. You also think of, you know, what was their whole
their
look
image
and everything. Yeah.
Their
I mean,
style.
One of the coolest things is going to the, you know, Graceland and seeing Elvis's outfits like on mannequins and seeing like these unbelievable, you know, tailored costumes and all this kind of stuff.
And you've got kind of a gorgeous Elvis pompadour in front of your hair right now, too.
Yeah. You're all styled.
I'm all red.
Like, No, but seriously, it's true. So how do you kind of intersect your music and your fashion?
I try to.
Why are you all bashful now?
Because you guys are laying it on thick. Fashion has always been something I've really been into, couture and high fashion and all of that, like ever since I was a kid, you know, so I don't
well,
know.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have thought though, because it wasn't like on Drake and Josh that you were sort of sporting regular.
Yeah, no, we were much more just teenagers, but I did get to express my musical taste through the show a lot though too. You know, I was instead of being a fan of whatever was popular at the time, because you know, some teenager that plays rock and roll music in the early 2000s, you know, he's probably listening to Blink-182, Green Day, all these kind of like modern acts and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they allowed me to kind of tell the kids, nah, man, the Beatles. We had a whole episode where I got a hold of an autographed version of Abbey Road.
Wow.
You know, the vinyl.
And did you really?
I wish. Oh. It's like priceless. Yeah. It was just for the show. But for the whole episode, I'm like guarding this with my life. And then finally, I have to give it to this kid for his birthday to get us into this really cool party. And we still don't get into the party. But it was cool because I was telling kids in the early 2000s, you know, the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Queen, Led Zeppelin, you know, there's other music, like go back, like there's cool stuff. You don't, you know, not just what's on the radio right now and not what's just happening now. And, you know, they were inspired by somebody else and kind of stuff. So it allowed me to express like my musical taste.
So these are bands that you're really into.
Yeah.
Have you seen Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it. It was really cool. I mean, as a fan of Queen, and knowing the history and being, I mean, I've been obsessed with Freddie Mercury for my whole life. And
he's worth being obsessed about.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, there's no voice that even can compare, you know, and, at least on the male side.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the history of the band, it's sort of like watching a movie about the Beatles and you know every in and out of the story. You've read all the books, you know what's true, you know what's false, you've heard all the stories, you've seen all the interviews, and then they make a Beatles movie that's like just kind of cookie cutter, here's the biopic, and then the label didn't like what they did, but they were successful anyway, and they got successful really fast, and oh, they just met each other by happenstance at a club one night,
right.
And it's like no, the lead singer, like Freddie knew the band for a long time, and they were friends with the leads. He was really good friends with the ex lead singer, and all that. Like there's just so many things, and then the whole thing where, you know, they had to get back together for Live Aid. It's like they just got off tour. They were on tour for like 4 months prior to the Live Aid show. So it wasn't like this big thing where they had to convince the whole band to get back together.
And did he actually know he was sick at that point?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, he didn't know he was sick at Live Aid. And that's not how he told the band.
Right, I knew that.
See, and I wonder why they made those changes.
The timing wasn't even right for when he got sick and when he announced it. So the whole thing when he was like having trouble with his voice at Live Aid and he knew why, like that wasn't true.
And it's interesting because I know that that the director and producer, I mean, they clearly worked with the band members that are still alive. So I wonder why they made so many changes.
Well, I'm thinking maybe because the band is, I mean, they're songwriters and they're creatives and they want, and you know, they were probably like, yeah, let's kind of shift this over here and make it a little more
emotional,
a little more emotional. Show us a little bit more like Rock Gods. Show mm-hmm. us a little bit more like we were, you know, like that whole thing of how, like what really bummed me out is not seeing the struggle. Like I like to see like the struggle and the band kind of not succeeding at the beginning. You know, that's like a cool thing about the Beatles story. It's like everyone turned them down and they had to play, you know, 300 nights a year at the Cavern Club before anybody paid attention to them.
Which is more typical of what happens.
And they were right. A garage band, you know, and they had to cut their teeth. And in the Queen movie, it's like Freddie joined the band and then all of a sudden they were on a world tour.
Right. Yes.
And I was like, their van broke down once. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they were on a world tour. I was like, what? Like, that's not how it works.
I love that you know all this. Have you, like, read bios of the band? Like,
yeah,
how
I
do
mean,
you know
I,
all this
I
detail?
I just love classic rock history. So,
awesome.
And also, I'm obviously, like, when I'm into something, I get super obsessive.
Yes, he's head to toe in
yeah,
Gucci.
So I get obsessive. I mean, when you come to my house, it looks like a museum. I mean, there's artwork all over the walls and collectibles and toys. And I mean, it looks like a kid's house, but you can't touch anything. You know what I mean?
That's exactly how I envision your house
That's basically what it's like. It's like a kid would love to come over there, but I'd be like, don't touch anything.
It's mine.
Yeah.
I do think though, but I think it's, you know, the fact that Bohemian Rhapsody has been nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture and that Rami Malek has won so many awards already.
I mean, his performance was incredible.
But I still think that it's the power of the music and of the talent.
Oh, yeah.
The people mm-hmm. that the audience is and that everyone's responding
to. I mean, it's, and I just love the fact that, you know, so many people of so many different generations. It's not just like all these older people going to see the movie and saying, oh, it's a great movie. I mean, people my age, people even younger, are like, man, did you see Bohemian Rhapsody? It's so great. And you know that they're going home and listening to all of the Queen stuff.
Yeah.
And what's really cool, I mean, even for me, it made me go back and listen to all of the Freddie Mercury solo stuff and discovering like all these like cool songs that I hadn't heard or had forgot about because, you know, but the movie focused a lot on, that was another part of the thing when in the movie when he said, when he got the offer to go solo, and then the band got kind of upset. Well, Roger Taylor, he'd already had two the drummer already had two solo albums out. The band was totally down with everybody doing solo projects. Like, mm-hmm. there would not have been some, oh, Freddie's going to go do a solo project without us. No, they'd have been like, oh, cool, man. Like, tell us how it is, because I've already done two of those.
I love how you're setting the record straight. For all you listeners who've seen the movie, you are now getting the true story.
But anyway, so it got me into like looking at the old Freddy stuff. And I know kids are going home and now discovering mm-hmm. for themselves, discovering for the first time, like all this amazing music, you know.
Can I just digress for a second? Because you said that your house is like all collectibles.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Gene Simmons' house?
No.
I was thinking about Gene Simmons when you were talking about.
I have.
Really?
Yes.
No way.
And he has like just, I mean, immense number of collectibles.
He was on our podcast.
Oh, that's awesome. He's so rad.
So rad. Well, so Queen, after seeing the Queen movie and everything, and also just liking that music, has that inspired yours and your music that you've been working on?
Yes, because can we just tell our audience that you're in the middle of a tour?
Yeah, I'm actually going on the road. I'm here for Fashion Week, and then I go back home and get to relax for a minute. Well, relax, pack and rehearse and get ready to go back on the road. And then, I get to go. I'm coming actually back here to New York for a show. I think some about the 28th or something like that. 25th?
February 25th at the Mercury Lounge.
Yeah, the Mercury Lounge. 25th.
Oh, Mercury Lounge.
Yeah, and then I have a bunch of big festivals in Latin America. I have a song. The song right now I have is called Fuego Lento. Mm.
So it's very sexy.
It's sexy, and it's in Spanish. The chorus is in Spanish. It's like Spanglish. So
do you speak
like
Spanish?
Like Despacito-ish.
Un poco. But I mean, not enough. I mean, enough to get around, but not. I'm still learning.
What inspired you to do a song in Spanish?
Well, I'll parlay that into the story. So the music is the first of my first album, It's Only Time, was very inspired by like Queen, Beach Boys, Beatles, all that stuff. I mean, I was literally trying to make a Queen and Beach Boys Beatles album.
Okay.
And when we released that, it did really well in Latin America. They just love. They love good music.
They love music.
And it doesn't matter what's like cool at the time. As long as they dig it, they're really big fans of Beatles and all that kind of stuff. And so the record did really well down there, unbeknownst to us. I mean, we were told by our agents, oh, you're going to go down to Mexico City, Monterrey, and I think Guadalajara at the time, and you're going to play three shows and go have fun. And so we go down there, and we're thinking it's going to be like we just got off kind of a good tour here, like 5,000.
How many people 4, are
seats.
In your group or your band?
At that time, we had a 9-piece band.
Oh,
so
wow.
We had
that's a lot.
Yeah, we had a horn section. We had drums, guitar, like two guitar players, bass player, Hammond B3 player, a sub saxophone player. Like, we had a massive band. We all sang like 6-part, 7-part harmonies. I'm saying we tried to make a Queen album.
Right.
We had didgeridoo. It's like that scene in Walk Hard where he's like, we need more Bushmen, more didgeridoos. It's like it's like Brian Wilson trying to make Smile or something. We were basically trying to make Smile. So we were pulling out all the stops. And then trying to replicate that live with no tracks and no pre-recording and doing all of our, you know, Beach Boys harmonies and everything live. So and we actually recorded a DVD of that. If anybody wants to see that performance, it's on YouTube. You can check out Drake Bell live in Mexico, circa 2008. Anyway, or 2006, something like that. But so it did really well down there. And when we got down there, I was expecting to do, you know, like we were doing here, like 4,000 seats, 5,000 seats, whatever. And we started doing all of the interviews like this. And the people were going, oh, you know, what's it like being number one and having the number one record and the number one song? And, you know, can you do can you do the radio liners for us and thank the listeners for keeping you at number one and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what? I'm looking around. I'm like, I did not get prepped properly. I'm like, number one. I'm like number one on the
Latin
charts.
Like
for the day on this radio station because I was coming in to do an interview and you guys played my song a lot. Like, I'm so confused. And then I was on this station that they were like, dude, this is the Ryan. He's the biggest. This is the biggest radio station you can get on.
In Mexico?
In Mexico City. But it's all over Latin America. It's like the biggest. It's like the Howard Stern or the Ryan Seacrest of the Rick D's of, you know.
Latin America.
Of Latin America. And I was like, this is crazy. This is so cool, you know? And the guy's like, you know, the place you're playing it's amazing that you're playing there and you're playing two shows in one day, and they were just laying on like how incredible this was. And I was like, dude, I thought we were coming to just play a club or something. Like, I'm so confused. Oh, I hadn't even been to sound check at the auditorium yet. And then we get there, and dude, it's an arena.
Oh my god.
And it's like 10,000 seat arena. And I have two sold out shows that day.
So I am Freddie Mercury. And
it was wild. And I was just like, what is going on? And then we get to Monterey. We fly to so now my band's like, what is going on? And then we fly to, we play this the two sold out shows. It's incredible. Then we get on jets and fly to Monterey, Mexico and play the arena there, basically a soccer stadium, sold out show. It was incredible. And so, and that just kept happening and growing. And then, so that marketplace just really latched onto not just the show and what I've been doing theatrically, but really onto the music. Mm. And so I've been going down there throughout the years and, performing and playing and releasing more music. And, basically every time I play live, I'd try to do a song in Spanish, or try to talk to them in Spanish and do my show in Spanish, and they would just love it. And so when I came back this last time, I was like, man, I've got to, not only was I wanting to record music like that, because I'm like so inundated when you're in that space, you're just hearing that music constantly and mm-hmm. the reaction that it gets from people. And I'm going and seeing friends' bands and the way the audience is like dancing and moving and everything. And it's just so much fun. That I just got back, I was like, dude, I need something that's like boom, ka-kum, do-do, boom, ka-kum, ka-do. And then once we did it all in English. And the song was really fire. And I was like, man, this is great. And I was like, man, we've got to do something in this in Spanish, either translate it or do a course or something. And then we did part of the course in Spanish, and literally, I mean, it was almost like all the hairs when I was, it was like the coolest thing I'd ever heard. And so that's just what kind of inspired it to be why I all of a sudden am singing in Spanish, you know?
Yeah.
So that, and so that single is Fuego Lento.
Fuego Lento, yeah.
Oh,
Fuego.
See, I don't, you say it much better than
español.
Me. And you have a very sexy video that goes along with that.
Yeah, that was really fun to shoot. I got a bunch of friends together. I was a friend of mine, Chris Applebaum, who directed a lot of classic videos like Umbrella for Rihanna and Party in the USA and like Beyonce's first Super Bowl commercial. Was it Beyonce's first? No, Kim Kardashian's first Super Bowl commercial.
Okay, yes, I know exactly who.
I mean, tons of all those Carl's Jr. commercials where the girls are eating the burgers.
Oh, right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I want to do something like that, like something where there's just like beautiful girls eating spicy foods. It's just a Fuego Lento.
It's like Fuego Lento.
Yeah, and I'm not even in the video. It's just like just visuals and stuff. And so I reached out to him and he agreed, and he's like, yeah, let's do it. He has a channel on Instagram called Eats Channel. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of just incorporated that idea and made this video, and it was cool. We just had like a bunch of friends. A lot of the models were just friends of mine, and it was just like a fun, easy day at the onset and stuff. It was cool.
Well, and to promote the video, you and your friend Josh Peck did the funny little video on Instagram too. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, he was just over at my house and I thought I'd use him.
Why not?
Yeah, why not,
you know? Right?
No, so we went to, no, he came over for, we did a YouTube video together. Mm. He was in town for just a second and he came over, we did a video.
But where does he live now?
He lives in LA. Somewhere in LA, I don't want to say.
Yeah,
but he's in the LA area. So he came over, we shot this fun little YouTube video together. And then as he was leaving, I was like, oh wait, we got to do something together. We should do something for my Instagram. And then I was like, well, but I don't know what to do. I don't know. Oh, well, hey, I'll promote my song.
Promote my song with me.
Yeah, and so we just did this whole little thing. And what's such a bummer is whenever you get me and Josh together.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
we just start rolling. We just start riffing, you know? And so I'm like, okay, hey, can you shoot this? And we're just going to sing this song in Spanish really quick. But then we start going and we're riffing for 3.5-4 minutes and like blah, 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 oh, blah, 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 and then all this stuff. And it's so funny. So then I got, and I'm like, oh wait, Instagram's only a minute long.
Uh-oh.
So now I'm on my iMovie, like trying to cut, like, I'm like, oh, but that's funny. Oh, I can't cut that. And it's just like, I'm like, why do we have to, just go just too long.
Put it on YouTube. Even. I feel like YouTube really brings people together, honestly.
Well, I think it forces people to get together because they have to figure out what content to fill up for that day. They're like, what am I going to do? Oh, I guess I'll just call my buddy. But yeah, you know, it's like, I don't know. He's awesome and it's really cool. Like, it's such a, I don't know. It's so crazy. Like the time of our lives where he comes over to my house and he's married with a kid. And it's just like,
so you're not ready.
We used to go over and like figure out what we're going to play on PlayStation and like, I don't know, like order pizza and have like, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. We're growing up.
Well, you are growing up.
And he's got a beautiful baby, which unfortunately we've been both like, flying all over the place that I haven't been able to meet him yet.
Now, are you still in touch with Miranda Crossgrove?
Yeah. I'm in touch with everybody on the show. Like, we did this thing with Jonathan on YouTube a while ago called Where's Walter that I'm going to be re-releasing pretty soon.
Oh, fun.
This whole kind of meta project where we took the dad from Drake and Josh and put him into the real world. And,
oh, that's
and
funny.
It's this weird thing where he escapes television and goes on this crazy excursion and through the real world. So we'll be putting that out again soon. And we brought a lot of people back from the show for that just for fun. And that was literally just us, me and Jonathan getting together because I got some camera equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's just go shoot some stuff for fun. And started reaching out to people from the show, like the characters like the Great Doheny and Helen and Crazy Steve and Craig
that's
and Eric
so fun.
I mean, Audrey, the mom, and I mean, it's hard to keep track of like everybody. My girlfriend on the show, Carly,
like several girlfriends like on the show.
But she was like, it's crazy. For one, I had one girlfriend that lasted like 2 episodes.
Okay,
so she was like the main girlfriend. Yeah, she lasted 2 episodes, but she came back for it. So I mean, I saw Yvette who played Helen not too long, like maybe last month.
Did Miranda go to college?
Yeah, she went to school. She did a lot, you know. It's like Amanda did the same thing. Amanda's over at Fitem now and everything. Mm. It's like they pulled the whole Jodie Foster, like, all right, I'm gonna take a break. I did what I need to do, I'm gonna go. And then,
that's hard to do. Take that time out.
You're on the Amanda Show.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved the
that
Amanda
was old
Show.
Old school back in the day. Yeah. That was a really fun show to do.
It's so good to hear you being like, talking about the show in such a positive way, like that it was such a wonderful experience and close experience.
Yeah. It's such a bummer hearing, you know, all of the, because I mean, I've been in this business for,
really?
I don't want to age myself now. Wow, I have to say that now. No, for like 25, 26 years, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so many people that I've grown up with who've been on shows that it was a terrible time for them. You know, they were just like, oh, being on that show and this and that. And they try to escape it. They try to forget about it. They hate when people bring it up. And, you know, they don't like people referencing it. They don't like people asking them to say lines from the show and all this stuff. It's like, you know, how many times can I say, "Did I do that?" You know, for a picture or something. But I don't know. I love it. I think that I'm very nostalgic, and I get, like I said before, I get very obsessed with things, and I'm a fanatical fan. And so, you know, when I'm a fan of somebody, I know what it's like when someone comes up and it's like their one opportunity to get a photo or to get a.
You're an icon.
Yeah,
it's like, you are an icon to generations.
I'm never going to leave this place.
Well, I've got 4 kids, and there was a lot of Drake and Josh on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, I just so I understand, and I just don't. You know, I don't know. I think it's important to kind of, I forget what I was saying. I'm getting laid on with all of this.
For a fan, when fans come up to you, like you enjoy talking about it.
Oh, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, is that's why I embrace the show. Is like, I know I love it. And it was a great time. And I was going through, you know, my adolescence and my teen years. And obviously there were times on the show where I was dealing with everything that a teenager deals with. And, yeah, it was kind of difficult to get up early in the morning and have the responsibility of an entire, you know, cast and crew and everybody.
And that is a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it's a lot. And, you know, there were our ups and downs about it, but man, I'd go back in a second. And it was so much fun. And everybody on set, we all, there was something special about the show. I don't know. I mean, not all casts get along. Not everybody, you know, not everybody loves each other after the show's done, but there was something, you know, I hear shows like Happy Days, Taxi, you know, these types of shows, Mary Tyler Moore show, where these casts are, you know, Dick Van Dyke show, where these mm-hmm. casts are friends until they're 90 years
yeah.
old.
Mm-hmm.
And they still go over to each other's houses and they still have dinner.
And Dick
they
Van
still,
Dyke is about 90 years
and
old.
And that's what I mean. Yeah. And they were friends, and him and Mary Tyler Moore were friends until the day she died, you know, everything like that. So,
well, look at the Friends cast. I mean, they're still
yeah, exactly. Like the Friends cast are all hanging out.
Cox.
Yeah,
and that's really that.
Yeah, exactly. Friends. And that's how we are. Yeah,
and people love seeing them together, like seeing you and Josh together, and you know, seeing. I feel like maybe there were a picture of you and Miranda in Disneyland or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So tell me, you love Disneyland.
Yeah, what is that obsession?
What is the obsession?
Well, that's my nostalgia. That's my nostalgia thing. You know, I love. That's why I think when fans come up and they want to say, you know, oh, say a line from the show or do this or that. I'm like, well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's the same feeling that I get when I go to Disneyland or when I see somebody that I grew up loving, you know, and I want to get a picture with them or get an autograph or something. And I just love, it makes me feel like a kid again, you know, and I love Walt Disney. I just, there's something magical about his creativity and you know, just having a vision and a dream and then actually like pursuing it no matter what. I mean, his pursuit and execution of just making Disneyland is incredible. I mean, he lost all of his money. I mean, and just starting his company. I mean, the thing that's amazing about Walt is all of his greatest successes came from his greatest failures. So without his greatest failures, he wouldn't have had his amazing success. So if he wouldn't have lost Oswald and went bankrupt and been eating dog food on the in a you know, a studio apartment with no money, Mickey Mouse would have never come around. There would have never been Mickey Mouse, you know? And then if he wouldn't have lost all of his money, you know, and had to go and find investors and all this, Disneyland would have never happened, you know?
He probably would never have been as driven.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And that's what's inspiring about Walt's story is like, you know, no matter what, even though everything crumbles and you literally are eating dog food, you can create Mickey Mouse. You can create Disneyland. You can create, as long as you have an absolute driven focus and you don't deter from that and you don't let anybody go, oh, you know, Walt would always tell his brother, you know, you'll find a way. It doesn't matter. You'll find a way. Even one time he had no money. He couldn't afford an investment for Disneyland. And Walt told Roy, you'll find a way. Just find a way to get the money. Find a way. And when Walt came back from a trip, he was looking around for his Mercedes that he had just bought.
Oh, I see.
And he's like, where's my car? I just bought this brand new, beautiful Mercedes. Where's my car? And Roy came up to me and said, well, you said find a way.
Like, oh.
Roy sold his car.
Who's your favorite Disney character?
Mickey Mouse.
Oh, why? Why do you love Mickey?
Because he's the boss.
So what's your sole focus that's driving you?
Music. And that's the thing, you know, like the Walt story. It's like I came to a point where I was doing everything. I was making a movie while I was recording at the same time. I did this movie with Debbie Ryan and Jerry Traynor from Drake and Josh last year, the year before, that was really fun to do and a really cool movie. And I was recording a record at the same time. And then I was about to go out on tour. And I've been doing that for so many years, like make a movie, do some TV, go make a record, go on tour. And it was just so spread out and spreading myself so thin. And then I, you know, taking stories like the Walt story and going, man, you know, you have to kind of go full force into one thing, or you're only going to have adequate or minor success in each one. You know, Jack of all trades, master of none, you know.
Right.
So this is your passion.
Yeah, I mean, music I get to have complete control of. I get to write it. I'm not playing someone else's character. Can I go do my set now? Like, can I do my scene? Oh, the lighting's not ready. Oh, we're still on this other scene. Oh, we haven't finished this over here yet. In music, I can be like, oh, I'm inspired right now. I need to go into the studio. I need to write some music. I've got something that I need to record right now. Let's go. And not being signed allows me the ability to go directly to my fans. And, you know, when I was signed, it was like I was always hitting a brick wall with my music, trying to either get it out or have too many heads telling me what to do with this, I get to ask the fans, hey, are you into this? Like, in the past year, I've released songs with Lil Mama, who I see is here, who we love.
We love Lil Mama.
That's kind of more urban. And then I have a whole new batch of songs that are coming out that are more urban, that I've worked with people like Tank God and Cassius Clay. And I think Mama's on another one of those. And that kind of vibe. And then Fuego Lento, which is more totally, I mean, not so reggaeton, but more like romantic Spanish Latin vibe. And then I put out a cover of Gucci Gang by Lil Pump that was just this kind of folky Post Malone vibe version of Gucci Gang. And I don't have anybody telling me, wait, but that doesn't sound like this and that doesn't sound like that. You can't put a Spanish song out. You were working your urban stuff right now, or we can't put this Gucci Gang funny cover out in the middle of working all this other music because we have a plan set in place and this is what we're doing. I can kind of go, hey guys, do you think this is funny? And like play Gucci Gang on Instagram Live, see that a bunch of people like it, think it's cool, go, okay, cool, I'm going to release it. And I do whatever I want.
Where do you release all your music? Where can your fans?
It's awesome with the technology now. I can literally just release it and it goes to everywhere. So anywhere you buy music, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon, Google, it's available everywhere. And then
is there a central site, like a Drake Bell site, where everybody can find out about your tour, where they can buy tickets?
On my socials, Instagram, Facebook. My Facebook has all of the that information on it. And Twitter, Instagram.
And they'll find all your songs on your social too.
Yeah, on my social. You can go on Spotify and just, check out Drake Bell. There's a lot of music that I put out last year and a lot more coming. So,
Sounds fantastic. And so for all of everyone who's listening, you are starting to tour again
in the next few weeks.
Yeah, pretty much the week after next, I'm back on the road. So you can go online and look at dates. And then I have the specific dates I have right now are, I know the 25th I have.
February 25th.
I've got Mexico City in March. I go to Mexico. So I'm in Mexico City March 22nd. I'm in Monterrey on March 30th for Pal Norte Festival and...
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I always forget the name. Acropolis. I always forget the name
Acropolis.
Of the Acropolis Festival, which is awesome. That's I'm going to so be fun. Playing with some really great artists. Like one of my favorite bands, Arctic Monkeys, are going to be playing.
Oh, yeah.
And Good Charlotte. Good Charlotte's playing.
I love Good Charlotte. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's another.
I want to go.
Kings of Leon, I think, are playing.
Oh, I love Kings of Leon.
Yeah, so kill it. I mean, that's what's so rad about playing festivals is I'm like it was so funny. I played one festival in last year and I don't know if anyone's going to know who this band is, but MXPX. And they're like one of my favorite bands as a kid. I mean, one of my all-time favorite bands. And it's cool because you see these bands and they're like, what? They're playing the festival? So I play my show and then I get to run over and like sit front row and see my favorite bands play. I'm like, this is so rad. I got free tickets and I'm front row and I get to go backstage and meet them. This is so cool.
That is great. Well, hopefully it wasn't at Fire Festival.
Well, we're so glad. We're so glad that you are getting to follow your passion and express your creativity and that we can all hear it.
Yeah, thank you
and
so much.
And so everybody, go to Drake Bell, go to his Instagram, his Facebook is to find out where he's going to be playing and about all his new music. And we're so excited. So you've got to come back and talk to us again.
Yes,
anytime.
Please.
Absolutely. Anytime. You lay it on me like that and I am here.
We can do a fun
and
YouTube
Gucci.
Video.
You can call me in the morning too. Yeah, like every morning.
Gucci
just
brand. You guys better get on to
Drake. Alessandro. This is my request to just be your friend. Jared Leto and Alessandro, can I just hang out with you guys, please?
Yes.
All right, we'll
because
put the message
he
out.
Looks great in Gucci.
Yes,
awesome.
Okay, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you so
good
much.
Good luck with everything. Okay, bye.